Man, we can just get this thing started. First of all, everybody in here represent Cleveland right now.
I like that.
Everybody in here like represent that. Cleveland right now. We got the Guardians.
Kinda.
You know what I'm saying? The former Indians. I'm in here representing the Browns. Let's go, man.
Hold on. All right, kinda.
Yeah, what you mean, kinda? Bro, I bought this at the brown spot.
You right. It's definitely the colors.
Yeah, what's up, man? So everybody, welcome, Mr. Emmett Goldie. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate you being around.
Thank you, man. Like,
this
no problem.
It's a long time coming. I got to say.
Is he our most famous guest?
Famous was a loosely used term, maybe. Yeah.
I'll say this. And I apologize to anybody who's been on the show who heard this and like, really, Chad? I've been looking forward to this for a minute. For one,
nice.
When we first met, a good friend of mine that I went to school with, who is your family now, mm-hmm. We were at his house for a birthday party. James, you're with me too.
Yeah, cigars and stuff.
Yeah, cigars, our kind of thing. And I remember when I saw you, I was like, oh shit, James. Like, and we had just got our show kind of sort of going. Mm-hmm. We had built some momentum. And we were like feeling good about him. I'm like, man, we got to get him on the show. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. He's like, all right, we'll talk to him. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so what do I say?
So I don't know, like, if Chad to tell you, like, I'm big on don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. Like, I'm
right. Oh, yeah. I know some people operate like that. Yeah, right? I'm my kids. Like, right.
It's not me naturally.
Right.
So we're sitting outside, and I'm like, all right, we're going to just, you know, talk shit, talk whatever. And then out of nowhere, you like, wait, kill me, but it was funny as hell. You were like, you know who you look like.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, like, this, don't you?
Masvidal, right? Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting there, I'm like, man, dude, look like somebody I know. And I'm like, oh, I got it. I got it.
So yes, sir. That was a few years ago, and it's funny to see things come full circle. So I appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah, man. Anytime, you know, I love doing stuff like this, you know, and just really, that's why I got into business. I like talking to people, you know, and kind of sharing perspectives and everything like that. So I'm always excited, man, to get a chance to do stuff like this.
Now, James, I'm going to put you on the spot real quick.
Yes.
I'll buy you your next cigar if you can tell me what team he's rocking. That's a fly track suit, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
If you can tell me.
Yes, sir.
I might pitch in on a cigar if you can tell me the sport. I'll definitely buy you a cigar if you know the team.
Well, it looks like a rugby ball. Well,
that's not.
Looks like a rugby ball.
I don't know. But so it's a little off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a basketball.
I feel pretty good about that one.
Okay. I think it's a basketball. It could be a football, man. I don't know, bro.
Depending on what part of the world you're in.
Yeah, it could be a football.
Could be a football. I'm going to say somebody Pelicans.
Kind of, not really,
but why you said that?
Yeah, I get it.
So I know you're a big Tottenham Spurs fan.
That's right. Yeah, yep.
Soccer, football.
Yeah, Premier League. So obviously I love my Browns, Cavs, Guardians, and all that. During COVID, there were no live sports, and the first thing that came back was the Bundesliga in Germany. It's a soccer league. So I started watching it, and I didn't really like any teams, but I started watching it, and I was like, oh, man, I'm starting to understand it because I had never watched it before. And then, you know, I caught FIFA. I'm a gamer, so I'm like, all right, I'm in the Premier League, and I'm like, let me pick a team. But I knew of, you know, Manchester United and City and Chelsea. Yeah. I had heard of those teams before, Liverpool, and I was like, I don't want to pick one of them. And then I saw this logo.
That's fly.
And I was like, man, that looked regal. You know, and I was like, I'm rolling with them, Tottenham Hotspurs. And ever since then, you know, I jumped on the YouTube channel and started watching YouTube videos and then started watching their games. And now I'm a crazy Spurs fan. And a lot of people say, why in the hell did you choose them? They never win anything. But I love the team, and they got some pretty nice gear.
Never heard of a Tottenham or anything of that sort.
North London. It's a borough in London. It's the hood.
Okay.
Yeah, it really is.
It fits someone from Cleveland. Like, that's, yeah. that's if you got to go with a team,
right?
That's probably one of your go-tos.
Right. You know, they'll have some good years, but right when you think they're about to win something, they don't. You know?
That's crazy. So did you play soccer or anything? Did you play
No. Well, I mean, in junior high, I went to Shuler. Right. Okay. And I had to play soccer in order to play basketball. So I reluctantly played soccer. But no, I was not a fan at all. I used to make fun of, we had a producer that was like a part timer at ESPN Cleveland. I would come in on the weekends. He'd have soccer on. I'm like, I ain't watching that bullshit. I get out of here. You know, and he's like, no, it's good. And like I said, it took no sports going on. You know, for me to give it a shot because I just wanted live sports. And then I realized like, oh, I get it. You know, it clicked for me. And, you know, now that's how I spend my Saturday and Sunday mornings. I get up because, you know, they're 5 hours, ahead of us. So I get up on Sunday mornings and I go get in the basement, lay on the couch, and I watch the Premier League. I love it. I love it. A huge fan.
To me, there's something special about a Saturday morning, being lazy, having some coffee, and watching a game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, there's something about that, like seeing a primetime sport before noon.
It's great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's awesome. And they have some really, you know, really good games and some really good players. So I love it. My wife already knows. You know?
Don't bother me.
Yes, I'm getting out of bed and I'm going down to the basement and holler at me at about 11 or noon.
I was going to say, you kind of remind me of, you look like a hooper. So is that what you used to do? You used to hoop?
I was a baseball player.
Baseball player?
Yeah, I was a baseball player. So I did play basketball because I enjoyed it, and I had, you know, I had fun. So you just
got basketball player swag.
I guess. Yeah. I'm tall. You know?
It's not that you're tall, it's how you like. It's the track suit. Yes. It's the J's. You just like, got that basketball player swag.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, and I would agree. You know, definitely would agree with it. But no, I was a baseball player, man. I was tall, skinny, and I threw really, really hard. Okay. You know, so.
He was a pitcher.
Yeah.
Pitcher, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, when I was like 14, I was throwing like 86, 87 miles an hour. And then I started throwing junk. And by the time I was 18, I didn't increase the velocity because you shouldn't, you know, throw a lot of breaking stuff when you're younger. I made that mistake just because I thought it was cool. I could make the ball do different things, you know. So I didn't necessarily get the velocity added that I would have liked. And I went to walk on. I went to University of Cincinnati for a couple of years.
Okay.
And I tried to walk on. And I was, after the workout, the head coach called me over. Only guy he did that to, and I was like, man, I knew it. Like, I knew what was up. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, hey, where'd you play in the summer? And I was like, oh, you know, I actually took the summer off, was getting ready for school or whatever. And he goes, look, man, I'm going to keep it real. I got a guy like you. Mm. He is like, so in order for us to bring a walk-on, we need you to be better than what we already have. Says, so work out, you know, try to get a little more velocity and, you know, come back next year. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, man, whatever. And I just became a college student and kicked it. And I was like, man, now I'm just going to enjoy myself because I was let down at that point. But ultimately, it worked out, you know, to be able to do, you know, do what I'm doing now, talking about sports. But, yeah, I was almost a college baseball player.
So what was it that brought you into that world of media, or like what drew you into it?
Well, the crazy thing is I was a late bloomer. Like, I didn't start till I was 29 years old. It was something I never had an interest in. My dad used to listen to the same station that I'm working at now, WKNR, ESPN Cleveland, and I used to hate it. I used to sit in the car, and I'd be like, Dad, can you put some music on? You know, and he's like, no, I want to listen to what they would say. And it's funny, I remember Greg Brenda being on, somebody that, you know, was a mentor to me throughout my career. And I remember being like, I don't want to hear this dude, man. I want to hear some music. So I just was never into it. Always loved sports, but didn't even realize this was an occupation. You know, like I knew people did it, but didn't even think it was obtainable. Didn't think I had the skills to do it. And, you know, go to college, run out of money, come home. My girlfriend at the time, now my wife, comes home, graduates from Ohio State, you know, gets pregnant. I start working at American Greeting, shipping and receiving department.
A couple years, care of them kids.
Couple years doing that, and thought to myself, "This is great. This is where I'll retire." Because it was a bunch of older people that had worked in that department that was getting ready to retire. I'm like, "This is great. How lucky am I? You know, to find a job that I could retire at right out of college. Like, this is cool. It's paying the bills. It was great." And then, like after 5 years, they had a massive layoff, and I got caught up in that. And then what I started to do was anything. You know, that was actually when my work ethic developed, because I was kind of lazy, didn't have a strong work ethic. But I was like, man, I don't have a job. Like, I can't play around. Like you said, not this time. I got two kids, you know. And I'm like, man, got to make something happen. So fortunately enough, having a skill I wasn't even aware of that helps me a lot. Now, through the relationships that I built while I was at American Greetings, I got a call back and somebody was like, hey, we got an opportunity for you. So I went there and making less money, you know, didn't have the health insurance and stuff like that, but was just grateful to have a job and, you know, that had an office, a cubicle or whatever. And I used to listen to the Dan Patrick Show every day.
Okay.
And that was just kind of, you know, how I would pass the time. And I was a big fan of Dan and Seton O'Connor and all of, you know, the guys on the show. And I remember one day, my wife, we had a conversation. It was obviously talking about money. And she was like, don't you want to have a career? And I was like, I'm just happy to have a job. You know, I'm 29 years old and I'm, I bounced around, did all this stuff. I was just happy to have a job. But it stuck with me because I thought, like, you're right, you know. But I'm like, all right, I graduated high school, didn't finish college. Like, what can I do? And then I remembered, because I would listen to KNR, you know, sports talk radio, driving home and picking the kids up and stuff. There was always a commercial for the Ohio Center for Broadcasting that would play. And I said, you know what, I think I could do something in that, you know, in that profession. I didn't think I could be a host, but I figured, like, if I learned how to run a soundboard and maybe I could cover some games as a reporter, like, my dreams would come true. Like, I think that'd be something that wouldn't feel like work, because I definitely told myself, if I'm going to dedicate my life to something, I don't want it to feel like work. I know we've all woken up in the morning and been like, shit, I got to go to work, you know? And I was like, man, it'd be great if I could find something that's not like that. So I said, I'm going to give this a shot. I went to school and I was working, got an internship at ESPN Cleveland, was like the last intern that they brought in and that. And it was only because some people had, I think they lost like two interns and that they dropped out. So I just happened to call, like, hey, did you look at my resume? And they were like, oh yeah, you got it. Come on in, you know? So wow. I just got lucky.
Sorry to interrupt you, but what you say is luck. You were also priming yourself that whole time for that opportunity, because you might not have even known that was going to come up had you not been having your ear to the pavement.
Yeah, no doubt. And then I just was like, man, I'm all in. I'm all in. I walked in, and again, it's just something that I didn't – building relationships is a skill that I have that I didn't know I had, and I didn't even know it was valuable. But I just walked in the door and started doing that. I started being myself and talking to people and cracking jokes and, like, hey, can I do this? Can I do that? And every time I got an opportunity, I did my best with it, and more opportunities came. So, you know, I was a board op. And got a chance to cover Cleveland State basketball. And I thought, like, oh, this is great. This, you know, it's the best my career is going to get. And I had no idea that I'd be hosting shows one day.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So what do you think about the media landscape right now? Like, so I feel like back in the day, like a host or whatever would kind of be like kind of famous, whatever. But now, like, hosts, you got your Stephen A. Smiths, you got your Shannon Sharps, you got your Ryan Clarks. I don't know.
Big personalities.
Yeah. Like now those type of guys are big time celebrities now. You know what I'm saying? So, like, how do you feel about that now? Like, cause you said, like, you thought it would just be this. So now the ceiling is much higher.
Yeah, and plus the accessibility to all that is like skyrocketing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, from a popularity standpoint, I mean, it's great because it gives you different avenues to make money. You know, when you start in the media, ain't no money in it. Bro, yeah. I'm talking about nothing. Like, there got to a point to where my wife was like, yo, you need to, like, quit that because you're not making enough money, and the financial burden at the time was on her, you know. And I kept telling her, like, I got this feeling that it's going to work, you know, so just, you know, trust me. And she's like, oh, I ain't going to trust you too much longer, dog, you know. Yeah,
but shout out to your wife for that, for holding you down.
Yeah, she did. She did. And I do everything I can to show my appreciation, you know, now that I'm able to.
Because but, somewhere right now, bro, they like,
yeah.
Like, so, like, that's an amazing story. And listen, ladies. Thug it out sometimes. You know what I'm saying? That man, it might be worth it. Trust that man. Trust that vision. But
yeah, so so now, you know, it's an opportunity again to kind of make more money. The more popular you are, the more likely a partner is to invest in a partnership, you know, with you. And that's a very important side of being in the media, especially being, you know, broadcasting, hosting a show or something like that. Like, reporters is a little different. Their role is to kind of be impartial and, you know, not affected by anything, really the news and the facts and stuff like that. But if you're a personality, you know, with it being so big, opportunity to make a lot of money, but then you gotta, it's also cool because you kind of see, again, on a much smaller level, what the athletes go through.
Yeah,
you know, if I say something on the radio, it's nothing for a person with a dog avatar or in a bunch of numbers, you know, in their thing to just go crazy, you know, just, you know, whatever, disrespectful, racist stuff, whatever. Like, I mean, you can see it all, and it's, you know, I don't know, I'm not necessarily affected by it because I get it. Like, you're anonymous, you know, whatever. You're trying to get a response from me, but you look at it and go, like, oh, that's how an athlete might feel after they miss a shot. Okay. And they got people on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. You suck. You suck. They should cut you, you know. And it kind of lends you to, like, okay, again, on a much smaller level, I could kind of see, you know, what athletes go through. And I think that helps.
Now, you said racist stuff. You and Chad are the two most racially ambiguous.
Yeah.
I have no
idea. Yeah, people think I'm Puerto Rican, and I'm not. No.
Where did you grow up?
Oh, West Park. West Side.
Come on, man. I'm thinking you put
so you could have been one of the 18 things. I grew up in Old Brooklyn.
Okay. Nice.
Went to Rhodes.
Nice.
So I'm a West Sider. I get that. Yeah. As soon as I started.
And then you got a bunch of black friends.
I'm about to say, when I started, like, getting older, when I was in college, out of college, and I started, like, venturing out to the East Side, every time I went anywhere, they just assumed I'm Puerto Rican. Then they hear where I'm from. Oh, you definitely. Yeah, you're Puerto Rican. No.
Yeah, right. No. I'm mixed. You know, half black, half white. But the thing is, like, I only knew my father's side was the black side. I only knew their side of the family.
Okay.
My mother really didn't have a relationship with her father after her parents got divorced, but her mother wasn't with it.
Well,
you know,
with the black, white,
it was not with that. And
none of that swirling around here.
None of that. She wasn't with it, you know. And when I mean, hardcore wasn't with it. So I didn't know anybody on my mother's side. I knew one of her aunts. Aunt Wilma, a great lady, is the only person I knew. And to really put it in perspective on how detached I was, like, my mother passed away when I was 12. She had multiple sclerosis.
Wow.
And most vivid memory I have of the day of her funeral was, it was the first time I met my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Her father, he was there with a nurse in a wheelchair. And, like, you could tell he just really didn't know what was going on. He was in bad shape. My mother's mother wasn't there, fully healthy.
Wow.
You know, and her daughter passes away and she didn't go, you know, to her funeral. So I didn't know that. So, you know what I'm saying?
What a sacrifice for your mom, though, for love, though, like, for her to be like, yo, look, family, listen, I love this man. We thugging this out. This is how we doing it. Like, that's a huge sacrifice, man. Those are crazy times.
Yeah, and I, you know, like I said, me and my sisters, we didn't miss out on anything. Yeah. We were loved, you know, our grandparents were great. So, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing. I got a sister that's a nurse, a sister that's a teacher, you know, so I always looked at it like, she messed up.
She messed up.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she's got some great grandkids, some amazing great grandkids. So, again, being as loved as we were. So, my mannerisms, like, I always be like, yeah, I'm black.
Yeah.
Like, I acknowledge my mom. I'll say, like, I'm mixed, but when I'm talking about stuff that, you know, that has to do with black people, I'll say we and us,
yeah,
you know, and stuff like that. But I have been called the tallest Puerto Rican, you know, that anybody has ever seen.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, he said I had too many black friends.
Yeah.
Because
he don't know how to say breakfast.
I know how to say it.
He doesn't say
in
breakfast.
In the flow of the conversation, I kind of rushed over the K.
I get it.
But, so, you know, and then I had to start questioning. Maybe I'm just kidding. I don't have too many. I love you, man.
Yeah.
Right. I love you.
Hey, if you want to cut me up, please do, bro.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Shut up, bro. You know I'm one of your top two friends.
I don't know why you believe
your
that,
mother.
Man. I don't know why you believe
me and
that.
Your mother. Kids don't count. They don't have a choice. How would you say your upbringing has molded you now and how you deal with lead your family? I know we talked about it earlier before we started the show, but you got a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And a lot of things vying for your time and your attention. How do you manage that and still do what you need to do for your family and pour into them?
I had a great example. You know, again, I lost my mom when I was young. My dad, Cleveland police officer, so single parent, you know, work hard, did whatever he could, you know, for us. I don't remember him missing a game, you know, when I played baseball. So I had that example. So that's what I do. And the coolest point, I was so grateful that I got to this point in my career where I let everybody, my employers know, and fortunately enough, they respected it as my family comes first. You know, I understand if we got this and that going on, I'm here every chance I can get. But if it's something to do with my family, I'm there. You know, my youngest son plays football and will be, you know, going to college next year, playing Division II football. They knew, and I never thought in my life I'd get to a point where ESPN Radio, national radio show, when they offered me the most recent contract, I told him, like, well, listen, I'm not working on Friday nights. I'm like, this is my son's senior year, so if that's a deal breaker, I respect it, you know, and I'll continue to be doing fill-in stuff. Like, I don't have a problem with it. And they were like, no, we'll work around your schedule. And I was like, man, that's a blessing, you know.
That's so big time, bro. My brother said, look, and he said contracts.
Hey, yeah.
Man, hey man, I don't think I ever signed a contract.
Hey, man, give us a job.
Yeah. I would if I could, right? I would if I could, trust me.
Aaron the show, we're just like, this is really what.
Hey, the reason why we brought you, this is our audition.
Hey, I feel it. I'll put it in the, I'll slide it, you know. Slide me the demo, right? You know what I'm saying?
Demo right here. We trying to make our audition right here. It's on there. We're going to talk about fitness and fashion. We got you. Bro.
All right.
Yeah.
Now you got your son's at Heights, right?
Yes. Yeah. Cleveland Heights.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Let's go.
I was hesitant on bringing that up because this man reeks of it.
Heights High football has been lit the past couple years, bro.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we were living in Brooklyn. You know, we were going there, and you know, my son all threw up was like. You know, started and scored all touchdowns, like all of that all through Brooklyn. There's some good athletes, but they typically leave. Kind of like, you know, we did, had an opportunity, the boys got older and had an opportunity to get a house in Cleveland Heights.
Yeah.
So we were like, yeah. And I already had known through the Build a Bridge program and some charity stuff, Max Stevens, Kahari Hicks, the offensive coordinator. Like I had a relationship.
That's my boy.
Yeah, I had a relationship with them before we moved over here. So when we did move, they had, like, Mac would train my son a little bit. So he was like, well, awesome. You know, come on in. And it was great because it was the first time, at least for my son, that it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
You know, it was like all before. Like,
you had to compete.
Yeah, it was, you're always going to be on the field and you're always going to get the ball and you're all, and then it changed to like, no, it's dudes that's just as good as you out here, you know, and we loved it and the team was good.
Yeah.
You know, when we were in Brooklyn, I love that city, that's where the boys, you know, we pretty much raised them for most of their lives. You know, everybody would leave after the band played.
Yeah.
It was like that type of spot. You know what I'm saying? Like where like band parents were great, but not a lot of like, you know, football parents, yeah, okay. you know, there. So, yeah, man, it's been great the past couple of years. Unfortunately, my son got injured right as the season started. So he missed a large amount of his senior year, but still blessed enough to have an opportunity, you know, to play college ball down in Northern Kentucky.
That's so, major.
Northern Kentucky.
Okay. Super proud of
him. Were they purple? Aren't they purple?
Who?
Northern Kentucky?
Oh, no. So it's actually Thomas More. It's a Division II team in Northern Kentucky. It's like right across the river.
Okay.
So
that's not HBCU, is it?
No. So it's a
NAIA?
No, it's Division II. They're growing. You know, they're growing. They were NAIA and then Division III and now Division II. And one of the things, it was funny, like, as we went, I mean, we've been to so many colleges past 2 years for the recruiting stuff. I was very impressed when we went down there because I saw construction all over the place.
That's big.
So I'm like, that means two things. They got money.
Yep.
And they're growing.
Yeah, they got an alumni base.
Exactly. And we went down there for a game day, and they had tailgating. And they had fans, you know, that set up on top of this hill and were really into the game. And we went to some other, you know, Division II schools, and there was, like, no atmosphere, you know. So that was where I wanted my son to choose. I didn't, you know, kind of tell him that. I wanted him to make his own decision.
Yeah.
And he, fortunately enough, you know, that was where he decided.
I always tell young athletes, like, yo, bro, you got to go where they want you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where whoever shows you the most interest, who's showing you the love. I walked on at Akron University. Okay. So I know what it's like to, like, have to walk on and build and earn yourself up. And then, like, so, like, my experience was I walked on, got to second on the depth chart as a freshman. Next thing you know, we get a whole new coaching staff. The coaching staff get fired. They, like, oh, we want to bring in some new recruits, different stuff like that. I'm out here doing recruiting trips and recruiting visits with bringing kids in, doing stuff like that. And then they using me. And they're like,
replace you, basically.
I'm like, yo. So when it came time for me to get a scholarship or do whatever, I'm like, they're like, no, we want to bring in some new kids. I'm like, well, man, like, I sent out my tape, got some film, and then I got, because I was under recruited, because I went to Heights at the time. I went to Heights, we was like 3-7.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. We had like 8 D1 players, but we just couldn't find a way to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I remember just like sending out my tape, getting all these letters and stuff like that. And then I got a letter from Hampton, which is, you know, at the time, 1AA, which can give you full scholarships.
Right.
But you just, and I could play right away because I'm transferring down.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, and then it was a couple other schools, but I really wanted to go to South Carolina State because my cousins was there. And I was like, I want to go to South Carolina State. South Carolina State was kind of dragging their feet on the offer. So I was like, man, I'm going to go to Hampton, bro. I talked to one of the bigger dudes at Akron because I was still there training and stuff. He's like,
that
bro.
Tank?
Huh? No. No, Tank is younger than me. I recruited Tank.
That's a big boy.
So when I got, so I was talking to my dude Marcus, he's actually a head football coach at a high school in Akron now, and he said, bro, if they offering you and they giving you a full ride, they want to bring you there this summer, that means they want you, they have a space for you, go right there. So I would tell your son, like, if they showing them that love, they roll the red carpet treatment,
already committed and signed and all of that, you know, because having some guys on his team, you know, the past couple years that, you know, we saw have offers and they waited and then they go to, like, all right, I'm ready to commit. And they're like, sorry, we already gave a scholarship up because they have, what a lot of young people don't know, they have a board. So at each position,
yes,
and your name is somewhere. So it might be at the top, might be in the middle, might be at the bottom, but they only have maybe
a
two
window.
Spots.
They got a window.
They might only have 1, 2, maybe 3 spots. And if they're waiting for somebody to commit, and you can usually tell if you go, hey, I'm ready to commit, and they say, well, take your time.
Yeah.
Then you're like, I'm not a high priority. Nah. But if they like, hey, you ready to commit? You know, then you know, like, you at the top of their list. So yeah, the recruiting stuff really opened my eyes going through it.
Yeah, but now it's like, so you know, I'm not trying to shit on Thomas, but now your son has opportunity because, like, he had the injury, which was a setback.
Mm-hmm.
He goes there, balls out with the transfer portals, NIL deals, and what's going on now. Like, if he wanted to go to the next level, he can always be like, look, here go my tape, here go my film. I could, like, it's like there's so much room for growth and opportunities now with this whole transfer portal situation.
Yeah.
So,
it's a whole different
ball game.
My favorite thing real quick about the transfer portal is for guys who are under recruited.
Yeah.
You know, and to give them an opportunity to kind of get that experience. And, man, there's a whole lot of schools that actually now prefer going in the portal because they're like, this guy already played some college football. This guy already had to balance, you know, the schedule in the class. So instead of bringing in a freshman that we might have to groom for 2 years, or, you know, this guy played D2, D3 for 3 years, let's bring him in.
Bring him in,
you know,
see what we can put him up and see what we can do.
Yeah, so it's I think the portal's been – it's been good from that aspect.
It's like the workforce. The only area, like, of our country that I can think of where that's not the case is, like, our presidency. Mm-hmm. Like, if you like, hear me out. One of the requirements to running for president is what? If you ran for president, you can't run again.
Okay.
So, in any other walk of life, you would want somebody with experience, wouldn't you?
Correct.
Yeah. Right. So, when it comes to being a president, if we had a good president back in whatever, and they're still eligible, I would want them.
Right.
Every president is a first-time president of a country.
Yeah, so you get to your 2 terms, no more than that. Yeah. If you exceed the 2 terms, you can never be president.
I wouldn't be against the transfer portal for some of our other positions.
So what you're saying is you're a Trump supporter?
Wow.
That's what I got.
So Trump. Someone's gonna snip that up.
So they put it all over the internet, huh?
Man. So you got the shoes?
No.
Oh
man,
those shoes kind of fire though.
They are not fire.
Those shoes kind of fire.
I would
fire,
say,
listen,
I would say
the Air Trumps.
If I saw a kid in high school wearing those, I would think, it's going to sound judgmental. He probably doesn't have any friends that really care about him.
I wouldn't say that. Them Trumps is fire.
If you send me a picture of those shoes today and say, what do you think about these? I would say, James, please buy. I would encourage you to buy some Hey Dudes before that. And I would never encourage you to
listen,
buy.
Listen, the way they could be the Bidens, they could be the whatever. Them shoes are terrible. Right? Them shoes are ugly.
Do you remember the Dadas?
Yeah.
They kind of look like they could have been fired, but they kind of weren't at the same time.
I mean, the Trumps are basically like a pair of like gold pro kids like type shoes.
Yeah, yeah. I think you just explained why they're not fired,
right?
But pro kids was fired though. They got their place. Like, I'm not saying like I feel
what are
like
you
those
are
type
you a of supporter
shoes.
Of the? What are you saying right
I'm
now?
I'm a Trump shoe supporter. I'm a Trump shoe supporter.
Say, make sneakerheads great again, huh?
Oh. Make sneakers great again.
Now, you obviously have some good judgment with your shoes right now. I wouldn't want you to tamper that.
Okay. I kind of like the Trumps, man.
Would you buy them and wear them this summer?
I think they're more of a fall shoe, though.
Don't wear them on a sunny day. That's all I'm going to tell you.
You might blind somebody. Would you wear them in the fall?
Yes.
How much are they? I don't know how much they are.
$400. Yeah, there's 400. So there's going to be 1,000 pair made. Word on the street is they have not been produced yet. There was just kind of the prototypes.
Pre-sales.
Yeah, that they so a bunch of people like bought them. And now they're waiting to be shipped to them. But everybody's reselling the item that they don't have on hand now. Wow. So the resale market is outrageous. I've seen 4,000 or 5,000, whatever.
So these are the LeVar Ball.
I was about to say,
big baller brand
vibes.
That's exactly what I tweeted. As soon as I saw it, I said, these are big baller brand vibes. Man. You know, it was trash. A bunch of people that bought them shoes that never got them.
Those, the big baller shoes, whatever those first ones are called, they were like...
Fake Kobe's? Yeah,
they look like fake T-Max. Remember T-Max?
Oh, yeah, I remember T-Max, too.
Yeah, and Lonzo ain't been healthy since, you know, playing in the start of his career in them shoes.
And then his brother was like, nah, I'm just going to do my own thing, Dad. We going Puma.
I like those.
Those fire. Kids love them.
I don't even play ball anymore, but... I always am like, if I had to buy a hoop and sneaker, I would go with either those or, I don't know. That's probably it. I like the colorways.
From a traction standpoint, I know this is going to sound crazy. Y'all going to look at me like I'm weird. But the Steph Curry's.
Curry's from an attraction standpoint.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like it. You know how dust be on the court and you got to keep wiping? Not with the Curry's.
Bro, the Under Armour is really focused on technology. That's why they don't like have the best looking shoes all the time. But they've really been focused on technology. That's why, like, I remember when Cam was at his pinnacle, like, he had Under Armour shoes. You know what I'm saying? Them Under Armour shoes were really good. Like, so
that was the click clack era.
Yeah. So I think the Steph Curry's are starting to become more fashionable. You'll go to a court, you a basketball game, you'll see a bunch of kids in Steph Curry's.
Yeah.
You see them. You see kids.
Maybe Steph I can't Curry's. Pick them out. I'm not saying you guys are lying. I just can't pick them out. I did see the ones he had on during the 3-point or when he did the special 3-point contest.
Mm. Yeah.
When he re-solidified himself.
Steph Curry's go hard. I think for Dame had a little wave. Kyrie had a wave.
I like some of the Kyries.
A lot of Kyries look good. I'm sorry, LeBron. I love you, bro. But Nike just don't do you right, man.
You don't think so?
I think LeBron has had some good ones. All of them haven't been hits, but I think he's had some good ones.
Up until like this, nines. Like 1 through 9, pretty good, man.
I like the eights.
As I'm saying, 1 through 9, pretty good. After that, bro.
How many are there now?
20.
Man, yeah.
Oh, so he's like
21. He's on like LeBron.
I have a pair. I can't even wear them because I wear a 13, but I was so thirsty for these shoes. I bought a 12 anyway. I want to say they was the Martin Lawrence theme 12s. Mm. I think, like, you know how the Martin's intro was with the colors and whatever.
Yeah.
They wild. And I like Martin Lawrence, and that show Martin's like my favorite show of all time.
Bro.
So I copped them. I wore them once, my toes was like this when I got
Martin's a great show. Do you know what the Martin Lawrence show is?
Why are you asking? That's such a racist question. I ask these all the time. Have you seen this movie? Do you know who that person is?
I just wanted to make sure, bro, because I didn't want to bring
my favorite shows as a kid. There was like, you know, we didn't have cable. Yeah. We just had, it was a 43-55.
Okay.
So, like, it was like
you live in color?
Kind of, sort of.
Wow.
I'm a little younger than you. Mm-hmm. I'm a little younger than you.
Okay. It might have been at the end, you know. It wasn't good by the end of it. It wasn't like it was.
But, man.
But at the beginning. Martin, the Wayne's Brothers, Jamie Foxx show.
Jamie Foxx show, to me, was
like the funniest show as a kid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still watch it when it come on, what, MTV2 or something like that. I'll still throw it on and crack up watching that
show. Me too.
So, Martin, who's your favorite character on Martin?
Wow, man. Oh, man. I don't know if we got enough time for me to even think about it. I mean, everybody loved Bruh, man.
I was about to say Bruh, man.
For sure. Reverend Leon Lonnie Love, you know, is an amazing character. Bob from accounting, man. Wow. Like, just so many, man. Yeah, so many. But, like, not Martin. I'd probably say Stan.
Stan.
Yeah, Stan
had a lot of one-liners.
Yeah.
A lot of good one-liners.
Yeah, like Stan was amazing.
But my favorite character, like, he didn't pop up that much, but Dragonfly Jones, man.
Absolutely.
Jones just like every time
I'm to Jerome. Come on. Y'all love
Jerome.
Him. Yeah.
Everybody loves Jerome.
Kenji, even though he would just whoop Dragonfly Jones' ass, that's the only time you see Kenji. He was amazing.
Bro, like, yeah.
Was a little snotty kid, Roscoe?
Roscoe.
Man.
But for Martin to do that, man, like, how much range he got as a comedian and an actor for Martin had the comedy game on smash for a minute. Like, he had the game on smash. Movies, TV shows, stand-ups. What was that, Martin? Bring the Pain or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, You So Crazy.
You So Crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he had the game on smash, man. So, but speaking of which, man, like, speaking media, comedy, how do you feel about this, like, comedic media person battle that Shannon Sharpe got going on right now, man?
Man, it's wild. You know, it's entertaining at first, but after a while, it's like, come on, y'all. Why everybody got to have beef?
Everybody
got to have beef. Shannon Sharpe, I think, has done a great job with Club Shay Shay and then the podcast he got with Ocho at night. But, like, when a comedian cracks a joke,
Yeah.
And then you know, you jump on the pod like, man, he gotta see me. Like, bro, he's a comedian.
He's
you
doing
know
what he's doing.
Yeah, like he was upset with Mike Epps and stuff. So
I don't know if it was just Mike. I think Mike just caught a bullet. I think what happened is I think sometimes like you just get tired of people just always messing with you.
Yeah,
bro.
I get it.
So I think that's kind of what it was. I think Mike just caught the bullet, but I think he just, everybody's saying, oh, he's homosexual. Oh, he's this, he's that. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? He probably is like, bro, come on, man. Like, all right, all y'all gonna just keep on piling this on me. So like, right. I feel like that was the thing.
Well, plus, what does it matter? Like, what does it change? Facts.
And I almost feel like you give it life when you bring, when you put more energy back into it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you just ignore it and let it go, then you crack a joke and it might be something somebody saying. Because y'all know the world we live in, some might be hot for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then we forget about it.
Forget about
it. And then we move on to the next thing, you know. So by even jumping on his platform, which you could argue is bigger than some of the comedians' platforms now.
At this time, heck yeah.
You actually giving it more, publicity than it would have been had you just did your show and ignored it. Nobody would have even really known about it.
Has an athlete ever, been upset with something you said? Or
anything? Yeah, so the two stories, and both of them handled things differently. Back in the day, Kyrie Irving, I want to say it probably was it the first year. It was the first or second year it was when LeBron was back. I was at a game, and it was when Deion Waiters came back after being traded. I want to say he was with the Heat at this time. And in the first
worst
half.
Worst draft pick, trade to get him back. Deion Waiters, bro,
He got back LeBron, so you know what I'm saying?
It wasn't the worst draft pick. Bro, we've had worse.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett was the worst.
But to me, it was worse because Deion Waiters wasn't even a starter in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then you draft him with the third pick overall. Like, I'm like, what's going on?
Right. Well, Deion came back and was lighting it up. Okay. Lighting it up in the first half. I even want to say he ended the half with like a half court three buzzer beater.
Okay.
Right. And Kyrie was doing okay, but he wasn't having a great game. And LeBron was out that night. So, Hispanic Heritage Night. They had salsa dancers on the floor, and they had a big group of them. They were doing a routine or something. And then I see before, dun, 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 before the last beat hit, Kyrie run out of the tunnel, start getting shots up, like real early before the rest of the team comes out. So I say to myself, I got to ask him about it, but I got to do it tactfully, you know, because I'm looking at this like, I know why he out. Because Deion is balling and he want to show, like, nah, I'm that dude, bro. Right. You know what I'm saying? But I had to figure out a way to ask that because I don't want to be accusatory or whatever, you know? Yeah. So I sat there and I thought about it. After the show, and it's what most people don't see, they usually just see the athlete standing there. There's usually 20, 30 people behind the camera with mics hanging all over the place and stuff. So I go, there was a break. After he answered the question, I go, Kyrie, I noticed you got an early start on the second half. What was your motivation behind getting out there early? And I thought, this is a great question. Like, I just nailed it. Open-ended. You know, I'm not leading him anywhere. I'm not accusing him of anything. And he goes, I'm the first one out every night. And I was covering the team every night at that time. And I thought, damn, I never paid attention. So I can't follow up. So I left it alone. Okay. I just was like, I swung, you know.
And I swung.
Yeah. And I didn't get it.
Like, Kyrie, you like salsa music?
Yeah.
You know, he just spots in the West.
Yeah. So it goes on. The interview goes on.
You like salsa music?
Right.
That's so messed up.
Right. Hispanic Heritage Night. Salsa dancing. You know what I'm saying? They always had Black History Month brought to you by Hennessy, right? Which is crazy. Is crazy. So the interview goes on, and then they go, all right, everybody. That's usually when the PR tells you you're done. So everybody turns off their cameras and their mics. He looks at me. He goes, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was like, what?
What?
He goes, I'm the first one out every night. So he's loud. And like LeBron tying his shoe, he looking over like, what's going on? Richard Jefferson stopped doing what he's doing. So I walk over and try to de-escalate it. I get close to him and I go, Kyrie, I'm not saying you're not. I just asked a question. You answered it. I'm fine. No, man. No, do you even cover this team? I'm thinking, I've been covering this team since before your rookie year. Like, bro, I know you. You might not know me, but you've seen my face on several occasions. I talk to you at practice 3 times a week. Like, dog, you know I'd be around this team. No, you can't be. You can't be. I'm the first one out every night. You would know that if you was here. And I just, like, stopped, just looked at him like he was crazy. And security starts to walk out with him. They walk out with all the players one by one. So he started walking out, and he like, man, somebody better tell this boy I'm the – I'm like, come on, dog. I could be your uncle, the boy. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm older than you. But I'm like, whatever. But I did pay attention after that. And the next game, he was the fourth person out of the locker room at halftime.
I was just about to say, sometimes the truth hurts.
Yeah, then he was the seventh, then he was the first, but then he was the third, and there was no rhyme or reason to it. And I would have other media members that would notice that and go, hey, you should say something to him after
I noticed he was the seventh person out tonight.
Right.
I know that was the only time you did that, but.
Right. And then I was like, look, that would be making it about me. And when, like, and that ain't, ain't my job to do that. I'm like, we know.
Right.
He got in his feelings. Because he understood that I noticed what was going on.
But Deion was cooking.
Right.
That's all that was. He slept with that one that night.
The second time was a lot more nicer. James Jones, champ, you know, great dude.
3-and-D player.
Yeah.
3-and-D player.
Great dude. I was on. Now, he had the reputation of being old on the team, you know. And one day I'm on the air talking crazy. Like, man, champ old as hell, man. He's so old, X, Y, Z. He old. I keep talking about he's old. I looked it up. I'm actually 6 months older than him. Right? Which I was like, oh, I guess I should stop talking. But just talked about how old he was. So 2 nights later, I'm walking around where the locker room is, and I see him. And all the guys, you know, just be like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, what's up, E? And, you know, and go about it. You know, not like I was good friends with everybody or anything like that. But, you know, everybody was always cordial. So I look at him and go, hey, what's up, champ? He stopped. He was like, he came over, shook my hand, was like, hey, man, I want you to know, bro, you do a great job on the radio, man. I listen all the time, man. You are killing it. I want you to know you got a listener in me, dog. I listen every chance I get. Damn, he heard me talking crazy about him. But instead of...
Yeah, it's a smooth move.
Yeah, instead of coming to me like, I heard you talking crazy.
Yeah.
That was him like, I heard you talking crazy, but I ain't tripping. You know what I'm saying? And even giving me some support as well.
Go ahead. One quick question. Yeah. So based on that story, does ESPN discourage you or encourage you to have relationships with the players? Like I feel like, because from a journalistic standpoint, is it like...
But to be very unbiased.
Does it create any bias?
I'll say this. It's relationships are everything in this business. Now, that what they don't want you to do is let your relationship affect your opinion. Mm. They want you to be objective, you know. So it's not frowned upon. It's encouraged as long as it doesn't affect your job. If it does, like if I'm a reporter and I'm covering the Cavs and me and LeBron best friends, they're going to take me off that beat.
Wow.
But they still want me to keep that relationship because I'll probably have information and be able to break news and this and that, but I can't objectively cover the team anymore if I'm best friends with a player. But they do encourage you to have relationships and, you know, and I mean, it does. It helps out a lot, but you also got to, like, everybody has to know, like, it's my job to give my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I try my best not to be disrespectful ever, you know.
Right.
So that shouldn't be an issue. But, like, bro, if you shoot 1 for 15 one night, I can't get on the radio and be like, yeah, a good game if you think about it. I can't do that. Yeah. You know, I'm going to have to be like, man, dude was terrible last night. Right. You know, and sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Mm. You know, it's funny. My dad's from Detroit. Mm-hmm. And he would always, you know, I had similar memories to you where – growing up, always listening to, he would find Detroit radio stations, and they'd come in terrible.
Yeah.
So he would turn it up louder. And I'd be like, damn, why are we listening to this? I used to hate it. Going to school in the morning, And but what's funny is as an adult, I find myself finding comfort in sports radio.
Yeah.
And I gotta say this, and I hope this doesn't sound like I'm just saying because you're here, but many times I've listened to the show, and I'm not gonna say names, but I'm like, man, I don't know what these dudes are talking about. But you bring it around in a way that I'm like, okay, I get that. I like that.
Yeah,
like you could something about it. You could tell you from Cleveland, man.
Yeah, like, well, that's a compliment. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I love that. I just common sense, logic, reason that works for me. Yeah. That's how I live my life. There is a segment of sports talk radio, even on TV, where the hot takes and the passion and all that, like, that's what they do. And I can't get excited over something I'm not excited about. I had dudes that I respect the hell out of tell me a long time ago, don't you ever say I don't know. Don't you ever say it's right or left, it's yes or no. There is no I don't know. Don't you ever do that. And while I respect these gentlemen and was grateful that they would even give me that advice, like, I don't believe in that, you know, because if I don't know, I don't know. Yeah. You know, I'm not about to argue something that I don't really believe in. And I like to try to look at things from all levels. What I try to do is if I don't know, I go to the audience, help me figure this out because I don't know. You know, so what do you think? Because this will help me kind of finally figure out how I feel, because sometimes I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
we about to find out what you know right now.
Okay.
Oh, sure. All right. I know you got to get out of here. So before you go, man, what's the Cavs' chances of winning the East right now?
Pretty good. I think they're going to end up in that second or third. I'm hoping it's second. Really what it's going to come down to is what are they going to do in the playoffs? You know, if they continue to play how they have, and they got a crazy schedule coming up to where they're playing every other night back-to-backs because they took that trip to Paris, you know, earlier this year. So they went 10 days, played one game. That put them behind just about every other team in the NBA other than the Nets who they played there. So it's going to be tough for them because they're going to be playing a lot of games. And I think they could do that. But when you get in the playoffs, probably going to play a play-in team, so you feel good about that. But then in the second round, you're probably going to see the Knicks. You're probably going to see the Bucks.
I want the Knicks back, bro. I got to smoke with the Knicks, bro. Like,
yeah.
Because we could have beat them last year.
And I think they should feel that way, too. Yeah. So, but the tough part is Boston right now, I don't look like anybody is going to beat them in a seven-game series.
I don't believe
series.
Them, man. I do not believe in Boston, man. Tatum, man, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, guys, show me something. Whenever I watch them, they do not run an offense, bro. I swear they just be out there like, hey, you are your ISO. No, it's my
they
ISO.
Take turns,
I'm like, bro.
And that was part of the problem with DG and Donovan last year. It was your turn, my turn. Yeah. And they found it. They figured it out this year when Darius and Evan was out. Okay, y'all, we can do your turn, my turn, if both of you guys are on the court at different times. You know, then it's your turn to run the team, and you don't got to worry about tit for tat with initiating the offense or taking the shots or anything like that. So there are going to be times they need to be on the floor together, but they found something while they were out that, you know, you put one guard, one big man, shooters around them. Like, that's been a great recipe for them.
Man, thanks again for coming on the show. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate you a lot,
yes, sir.
Man. Thank you. I know you're out here.
Yeah, anytime, man. Be more than happy to join you guys again sometime.
For sure, man. And just make sure you push along our resume.
For sure. I'm going to slide the demo.
where's the media pass?
Yeah.
Teach us how we can get a media pass. We're going to be your
– teach us the game.
We're going to be your assistant. We're going to just hold your mic
course,
and stuff,
man.
Right.
We got you, bro. Your shoes. I don't even care.
Make it happen, man. Thank you,
bro. Thank you, man.
Appreciate you.